Yeah. Well, it's good to be with y'all this morning. We send you greetings from the south side, on the other side of the fort, down towards Hepzibah, which most of you are scared to come visit. But I will say that Martinez is not in the scriptures, while Hepzibah, which means the Lord delights in thee, is in scripture. So we are closer. I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to say. That's, right, but it still delights in thee. Right, come on. We sang this morning in the Lord's Supper, song 87, the last line of that hymn. And children ascend to the Father's glad home. I'll shout with thy likeness impressed on my brow. 'Tis thou who art worthy, Lord Jesus, 'tis thou. Today we're going to be talking about sanctification. I will wake in his likeness. A quick review of sanctification from start to finish. So when we talk about a quick review of something, it means that I will not be able to get to every detail that has to do with sanctification, but I will tell you that I need to work on it. So I do not present this to you. I do not share with you the Word of God. I do not proclaim to you the oracles of God saying that I have mastered this. But I have been impressed by this thought this summer in a number of ways. But why today? Oh, there it went. Oh, sorry. Every time I try to use technology, it's a good... Okay. It works. Turn, if you would, to Psalm chapter 17. Well, Psalm 17, not chapter 17. Psalm 17. I'm 55 years old. Yes. For some of you in the audience, it's like, I'll never live to be that old. For some in the audience, you're saying, wow, what a young buck. I understand that we're in different stages of life. But I still struggle with sin because I'm not like him yet. And it's a real point of recognition in the scriptures as I go through them. These teachings, these injunctions, these illustrations regarding this idea of sanctification. What struck me was this reading in Psalm chapter 17 or Psalm 17 verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. If you look at the first verses before that, arise, verse 13, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure, they are full of children, and leave the rest of their substances to their babes. And then, as for me, I will be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. You get to a certain age, and you start thinking about how it's going to wind down. You young people have no idea how fast it goes. You have no clue. And I know that I heard the same message when I was your age. But I woke up with gray in my hair and arthritis in every joint and the fact that athletic glories were far, 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 far behind. You're also, if the Lord tarries, If the Lord waits to come back, you are also going to face these things. But you as young people have a choice now in that you can early decide that you want to devote your life to His likeness instead of seeking those things of the world. David said, or the psalmist said, I will be satisfied. What satisfies me at 55 years old? Is it a retirement account? Is it health? Is it the fact that when I ride out to the farm and I look, there are no animals that are down? Is it the fact that my children are doing okay? I don't want to end that way. Now, frankly, I want the cows to be doing okay. I certainly want my children to be doing great. Yes, yes indeed, I want a retirement fund. All of those things are not wrong. They're not bad. But there's a tendency as we age to slip into comfort and what brings comfort. I would like, with my last years, if I have last years, we don't know what breath will be our last, to think more diligently about what it is to be like Him. We look over in Psalm 69. You can turn over there because you can't read it on the screen because of my poor choice of slide. If you look over in 69 and verse 5, we read these words. We read these words, another psalm of David. O God, Thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from Thee. Let not them that wait on Thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek Thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. I really, really want to end well. And in my ending well, I want to encourage all of you that are young to start well. There are choices that you're going to make over the course of the next 10, 15 years will dictate the amount of crowns that you have to throw back at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And that's all that's eternal. Your 401k, you're too young to understand what 2008 did to those things. They can go away in an instant. Your children, your health, all of those things can go away in an instant. But growing in the likeness of the Savior who eternally saved you is forever. I want us to look today at this idea of growing in sanctification. What is sanctification? Why it's important? Its source? Its sequence? The struggle that comes in sanctification? The security that we have in sanctification? And the spur of our ultimate sanctification to our daily living today. We're going to look at five different things regarding sanctification this morning. And I hope that you will take from this a primer, if you will, for studying this yourself over the course of the next few weeks. I've spoken a lot in my day. I've preached in a lot of little places, a lot of camps. And I don't pretend that people remember what I say. I taught for 12 years. That kind of knocked it out of me. You know, you say all kinds of things and people. But I want you to take today's message. And I want you to chew on it for the week. You can forget I was here next Sunday. That'll be fine. But I want you to chew on what the Word of God has for you today. And sometime this week, put something into practice that will bring you, and I hope to do it myself, into a closer likeness of the Lord Jesus. Because one day, those of us that know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we will awake in His likeness. That is our hope. That is our joy. That indeed is our future. And if we are animated by that on a daily basis, it will transform the way that we live before a lost and dying world. Today, tomorrow, the rest of this week, all of September, the rest of 2026 and beyond. But we can't go to His Word without asking for His help. Heavenly Father, we just ask You this morning. We ask You this morning, Father, to speak through Your Word in such a way that Your people are edified, that Your Son is glorified, and that those of us that hear it will take it seriously enough to put it into practice in our daily lives. I pray for everyone in this room that may next Sunday each of us be a little bit more like our glorious Savior, the Lord Jesus. And if it be Your will, Father, we pray that You would send Him even to come to take us home so that we could be translated fully into His likeness. Until that day, may we look to Him together and be witnesses in this world of a glorious and wondrous Savior, our Lord Jesus. In His precious name we pray. Amen. Sanctification. Defined, there are three basic definitions in Scripture. There is the different set apart individually for a special attention. All of you will remember from Jeremiah chapter 1, Jeremiah is called from the womb. We also see this in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15, in which Paul is called to be an apostle. He is set forth by the Lord for a special mission in the womb. There's that other aspect, the secondary aspect of holy for God, sort of like a Nazarite, where you'd be set aside for a particular season. But the one that most affects you and I as believers in the Lord Jesus, and again, I do not pretend that everybody in a crowd this size knows the Lord Jesus as their Savior. So please understand this, you cannot be sanctified if you are outside the Lord Jesus. That will become abundantly clear as we go through the Scriptures, but I don't want anybody here to think that you can be sanctified apart from Jesus Christ. You cannot. So I would ask you to consider that when you are hearing these words. For those of us that have come to know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, the word sanctification that we hear, that we utilize, that we put into practice, is this idea of the process by which those who have been declared right shall be ultimately brought into perfect alignment with God. Now, you can't really study sanctification without at least mentioning another great salvific word, that being justification. Justification is the declaration that you and I that come to God through the Lord Jesus are declared right. We are declared righteous. One day we will be made righteous. We are not made righteous yet. All I have to do is hang out with you for an afternoon in Atlanta traffic, and I'm pretty sure that during that time there will be revelation that you are not wholly righteous. In my case, no, I never have difficulties with other bad drivers. We all have issues that we deal with that show that we are not fully aligned with His image and His likeness. So the process of becoming like the Lord Jesus is the word that we use, sanctification. Now, the source of sanctification is the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to see this in Hebrews chapter 10, so turn there if you would. There are so many verses on this, we cannot go into all of them. But Hebrews is very clear on this in chapter 10. So let's look in verse 10 of chapter 10. And it tells us, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Then look down in verse 14. For what by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. We see in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12. Jesus, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. I thought Austin was going to steal my message this morning at the Lord's Supper when he got up. But we see this, that it is through the Lord Jesus Christ that we have sanctification. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30 tells us, Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, in a list, one of those is sanctification. And when you look at, and I try to source this because historically if we didn't give our footnotes, we'd be in trouble. I can't promise that all of my definitions are sourced, but in this case, there's a website that you should all be taking advantage of called Aliyah, and it's basically, or Eliyah, and it's a concordance, strong concordance. The definition here is, Christ is he to whom we are indebted for sanctification. Christ is he to whom we are indebted for sanctification. So starting off, when we think about this idea of becoming more like the Lord Jesus, it is the Lord Jesus himself who makes it possible for us to be sanctified. There is nothing that you can do outside of him to become more like him. And so self-help programs, lifting yourself up by your bootstraps, trying to give enough money to the church, trying to give enough attendance to the church meetings, trying to give something good for charity, none of those things makes you like the Lord Jesus. You can even give your life in exchange for a friend or a fellow service member or something of that nature. You can sacrifice yourself for someone else's life, but you cannot, in doing that, make them like the Lord Jesus. Only his help, only his aid, only his life and sacrifice are the source of sanctification. You cannot be set apart. You cannot be holy without the Lord Jesus. Now there's a sequence, and there's argument in the Christian world on this. I'm taking an older, generally accepted model for sanctification. There are three basic words that you'll hear bandied about when you hear about this idea, this process of sanctification. The first one is positional. The second one is progressive. The third one is permanent. I see now that the pink choice is not good for you in the background. It's really good on the computer, but sorry for that, folks. You discover things when you get into a bigger building. But positional is the unalterable reality in which believers are declared holy, clothed in Christ's righteousness, and spiritually united with him. When does this occur? Positional sanctification occurs when you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. It is a once-for-all act. It is what happens when you bow your knee to the Lord Jesus and say to him, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I need your salvation. I need your work on the cross to make me whole. I need to tell you that I'm a sinner, and I trust you as the one source of my salvation. Of course, you don't have to use those words, but that's what you're doing. And at that moment, you are positionally sanctified. What does that mean? That means that when God the Father looks at you, he sees you through the person and work of the Lord Jesus. Okay? So you are behind the Lord Jesus in the vision of the Father. And that's just an illustration for our human consumption. But we are positionally set eternally. When we come to the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we are sanctified positionally. I was saved when I was 5 years old. Some of you will remember an old-time preacher that was out in Washington. His name was Owen Hoffman. Owen Hoffman did a series, and many of us that grew up in the local meeting remember the two roads and the two destinies chart that they'd put up on the wall. We probably should have that more often today, but we had it a lot when I was a kid. I was 5 years old at Believers in South Augusta, and he came through and he preached that. And I went home that night, and I did not want to go to eternal damnation. That was just not something that, and I knew that I was guilty of sin. And I was in my bunk bed out in Hepsibah, rolling and rolling and rolling. I couldn't go to sleep. So I got down on my knees and I came to the Lord Jesus and I told him I was a sinner and I needed Jesus for my salvation. I don't remember the words I said. I remember the time. I remember what I did. I remember what happened. And I didn't tell a soul. It's like 6 months later when I finally told folks that I got saved. But it was at that moment. It was at that moment that I was positionally set apart because I was in Christ Jesus. Now, I can look out in this crowd and there are a whole lot of people here that can tell you definitively that I'm not permanently sanctified yet. Because they've seen me, they've lived with me, they've walked with me, they've seen that sin still is around. But in the eyes of the Father, He sees me through the Lord Jesus, I am positionally sanctified. The one that we struggle with is this progressive sanctification. It's the idea of growing daily, weekly, monthly, into the likeness of the Lord Jesus while we walk still encumbered by our sin nature. I don't know about you, but I still struggle with sin. Does it go away? It hasn't been eradicated. We'll look at this. I'm not sure how we got to the close. Y'all want me to stop now? Is that what I'm getting? I thought I had 15 more minutes. Not sure what happened, but the point is, progressive sanctification is where you and I, because we want to be like the Lord Jesus, and because He has sent us the Comforter to help us, convicting us of sin, reminding us when we err, the Holy Spirit working within us, day by day, day by day, day by day, I should be growing into the likeness of the Lord Jesus. Progressive means that it should be upward, but all of us know the reality. What happens? There are weeks where we go down. There are weeks that we struggle. And if you think that that doesn't happen, wait till we look at the Apostle Paul. Folks, progressive sanctification is an act of the obedience to the will of the Father, the will of the Son, the prodding of the Holy Spirit. And it is a daily, daily work in those that know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Finally, permanent sanctification. This is the complete sinless perfection which occurs at the appearance of Jesus. Now, I love my wife, and she is perfect for me. I mean, that's a legitimate. People that know me are astounded. They're also astounded to know that I'm the one that pursued her, and I'm the one that won her, and I was not lucky. And if you ever tell me I'm lucky, you will hear the business end of that. Because there was no luck involved with this. There was pursuit. But my wife is not perfect before the Lord Jesus. She knows who she's living with, and it is bad. Bad news. She gave me the lecture. Last week we were coming from Emmaus. which as a dutiful good husband, I was taking her out there so she could be feted and glorified by all the faculty out there and all that wonder stuff about what she does. And on the way back, we got caught in traffic. Not good for David. Not good for his testimony. That's not outside, but in the car. She gave me the business end of, it's not really fun riding with you. I knew what she was talking about. It's not fun riding with me. And I had to sit quietly, which is amazing in itself, for about an hour, chewing over her honest assessment of my failures. I'm not permanently sanctified yet, but I will be. But I will be, and that's the hope that we have as believers. But these are the three phases of sanctification. Which one do you possess? You absolutely possess positional sanctification right now. Which one are you involved in? Which one am I involved in? We're involved in the progressive sanctification as we grow more and more into the likeness of the Lord Jesus. That is our goal daily, weekly, monthly, yearly as we await His return. And there will come a day. There will be a day. There will be a day when you and I, who have named the name of the Lord Jesus, believed in our heart and confessed with our mouth that He is Lord, that He is Savior, you and I will one day awake in His likeness. I don't know about you, but that is a thrilling thought. I told you I was 55. You know what I really am looking forward to in glory is the fact that I will never sin again. That I will never sin. That I will never sin again. It is amazing. It is amazing that the perfect, pristine, blameless Son of God would die for somebody like me. And then not only die for me so that I would not have to endure eternal punishment, He died so that He could make me like Himself. I will not be like Him in His deity. No, I will not. But I will be made like Him in relationships, in the ability never to sin. The ability that when I walk into a room, I don't have to worry about in heaven what I said about somebody or what they said about me or what evil thought I had about that or what lustful thing I did or what angry outburst I had. It'll be gone because I'll be like Him. It's coming. It's coming. There we go. But it's a struggle now. My technology is a struggle for me. So we got that down. It's a struggle for me. But there's sanctification is a massive struggle. When I was in seminary, back when I was in Chicago, I would go over to Emmaus quite a bit because I had a lot of friends and it was just a place of great fellowship. And we were at a place called ACC, which was Asbury Community Chapel at the time. And Dr. Jack Fish, some of you will remember Doc Fish. He got up and he was opening his message and he said, "Are you struggling with sin?" Of course, all of us Bible college students and seminary students, of course not. Of course we're not struggling with sin. We're here to study the Scriptures. We are, nobody answered that, but in our mind we got that idea of, oh, this is a trick question. And then He came out, and I've never forgotten it. He said, "I hope so." And I thought, what does he mean? And then he went into his explanation. And here's the deal, folks. If you're not struggling with sin, you've given up to it. You've given up to it. You've surrendered to it. Because sin is at war with you. And there is no complete sanctification this side of the rapture or this side of you being with Jesus. It's a struggle that each one of us as believers will face. Now, what am I not saying? Please understand this. I am not saying that it's okay for you to sin. the last thing that I want you to get, that it's okay to sin, because Paul in Romans chapter 6, that would be great, you know, come to Martinez and tell them that, hey, it's okay for you to sin. No, God forbid is what Paul says in Romans chapter 6. It's not okay to sin. I'm also not telling you that you can't live victorious in Jesus, because we are more than conquerors. We read this morning at the Lord's Supper. We are more than conquerors. We're not given a spirit of fear. Peter tells us that we've been given everything that pertains to life and godliness. We can live victorious lives. But the reality is we are still in bodies, in a world in which we have two natures. And we see this in Romans chapter 7. Now, again, I'll acknowledge there's an argument in Christian circles regarding whether or not this is before or after Paul was saved. I believe that it was before he was, it was after he was saved. And I can go into that later, but I don't have enough time to get into all the nuances of that, but it's the tenses of verbs and that sort of thing that you can see in the passage. But what do we see in verses 15 through 25 of Romans chapter 7? He says in 15 that I hate to do what I'm doing, but I still do it. That which I want to do, I don't do. That which I hate to do, I do. And the literal translation in verse 17, it says, the sin that dwells within me, it's the sin dwelling in me. The dwelling in me sin, it's still there. It still raises its ugly head. Because the carnal mind is enmity with sin or with God. Folks, you have a sin nature. You have a regenerated inner man. Those of you that know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if you're sitting here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you do not have any part of regenerated. You are dead. You are lost in your sins. Ephesians is very clear on this in chapter 2. You have no hope. There's no process of sanctification for you until you come to the foot of the cross and you cling to the feet of Jesus and you say, you are the way, you are the life, you are the truth. That is the only way that you can come into the good of sanctification. But even when you come to the Lord Jesus as your Savior, because you still possess the sin nature, you will at times struggle. I want you to understand this about Paul. He says, wretched man that I am. That word wretched man means enduring toils, enduring troubles. You know when he writes this? He writes this in about 57 AD. We forget the historical context behind some of this. He writes this in about 57 or 58 AD. He's already written 5 books. He is mightily used of the Spirit of God. He has been to the third heaven. You understand that? He's been with in glory. He is going to go on to write 6 more books or 7 more books after this. Paul is a man who is bent on serving God. And you go to Corinthians, all the struggles that he went through. And yet, what do we see here? This is a man who still understands the plague of sin. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? And the same answer is the same. We go back to the source. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Folks, I am not giving you permission to sin. And I am not telling you that you cannot live a victorious Christian life. But what I am telling you is because you are not made in His image yet, the indwelling sin nature wages war on you. And if you're not up for the fight with the power of the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God, and through the love of Jesus dwelling in you, you will suffer wounds and defeat. Not overall, battles. Because we know the ultimate victory is won. There will be struggle. But lest you get overwhelmed. Lest you get overwhelmed in your struggle with sin. Understand this. Philippians 1:6 tells us, he who has begun a good work will be faithful to do what? To complete it. He will complete it. He will finish it. He will do it. We read this passage at weddings quite a bit, but Ephesians 5:25-17, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such things, but that it should be holy without blemish. Jesus Christ, who came and bore in his body your sins and my sins on the tree, that Lord Jesus loved us, made us his bride, and will present us to himself without spot and blemish. There is going to be permanent sanctification. There is going to be a day when you and I will never again suffer the ravages of sin in relationships, in body, in death. Folks, you may struggle, and you will struggle at times. But the source of our sanctification is the Lord Jesus, and that Lord Jesus is going to finish the job. He's already finished the job. But he will take us to glory. 1 John 3:2, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We may be like him. No, we shall be like him. What should this do? 1 John 3:3, everyone who has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Folks, if we are going to be like him, and he loved us unto death, how should we not endeavor to enter the struggle against that which wars against him, which is the flesh, the world, the devil? How do we not enter in and say, I have this sure hope. I'm going to be like him. John says, go out and sin. Go out and do what you want. Please yourself. That's not what he says. He says, jump into progressive. Learn. Be. Grow. You need the Word of God. You need to listen to the Spirit of God. You need to be with other believers. And absolutely, you have to exercise your will. If you're going to grow in sanctification, you have to make choices. And if you don't make those choices, you will not grow in His likeness. I want to leave you with a closing encouragement and a closing challenge. This is C.S. Lewis here on your right. He had this statement about progressive sanctification. And I really enjoyed it. No amount of falls will really undo us if we keep on picking ourselves up each time. We shall, of course, be very muddy and tattered children by the time we reach home. But the bathrooms are all ready, the towels put out, and the clean clothes are airing in the cupboard. The only fatal thing is to lose one's temper and give it up. It is when we notice the dirt that God is most present to us. It is the very sign of His presence. If you're dead in sins, do you recognize sin? When you're alive, who works in you? The Spirit of God convicting you. Don't be like this. Be like the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, how do we get off the mat when we're struggling? What does John tell us? 1 John, we are sin, he's faithful and just. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I want to encourage you to not give in to the struggle, to not give up, to lose your temper and throw in the towel, but go to the towel of God's Word, to go to the water of the Word, and this week be encouraged to grow more in His likeness because you are reading and studying and learning more of Him. I also want to challenge you. Charles Spurgeon said this, if you think you can walk in holiness without keeping up perpetual fellowship with Christ, you have made a great mistake. If you would be holy, you must live close to Jesus. Young people, I want you to hear this from somebody that wishes he could go back and change things. I have honored the Lord in a lot of ways, and I've dishonored Him in a lot of ways. You're not going to read about me. There's a whole lot of things that, you know. But if I love Him, I will do what He says. And sanctification is not about following a bunch of rules. Sanctification is about becoming like the one who loved you and gave Himself for you. And when we forget the personal aspect of sanctification, we make it into a following of A, B, C, D. And in that, we rob ourselves of the joy of the fellowship, of growing with Him and like Him. I hope each of us this week will grow to be more like the Lord Jesus, because one day those of us that know Him will certainly awake in His likeness. Heavenly Father, help us, we pray, to be more like Your Son. And in being more like Your Son, we pray that others will see and come to know Him. Bless Your people this week. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.